Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Jonathan de Burke Butler joins us once again to look at some stories from some other parts of the world. Jonathan, good afternoon.
John, how are you doing?
Right, Hong Kong we're going to go to first, and an activist has been sentenced for a rather odd attack.
Yes, this is Man Yeon Ngi. He was found guilty on Tuesday of common assault. You might remember that over the last number of years, Hong Kong and Beijing have been grappling with each other. Mm. There are pro-Beijingers within Hong Kong who would like to see China more involved in the politics and economy of Hong Kong, and there are plenty in Hong Kong who would like to see democracy the way it is, and they're quite happy to do that. So there's been several protests. There was an Occupy movement back in 2014. And this particular individual was, of course, along with many other young, very young activists, it has to be said, were very much involved in this. So this particular man is the chairman of what's called the League of Social Democrats. And when the elections took place for the local parliament or whatever, I can't remember what they call it there, but anyway, the local parliament in Hong Kong, he decided that he would throw a sandwich at the chief executive, who is basically the Chinese representative there, man by the name of Mr. Leung. And unfortunately, I suppose for him, the sandwich actually missed Mr. Leung, who ducked, and it hit the head of police instead.
Oh dear.
But he was, the chief executive was the intended target. Now, this young activist has been made an example of, and he has been sentenced to 3 weeks in prison for the flinging of the said missile.
Right, okay, so all the, right. You know, I thought you were going to say 3 years for throwing a sandwich.
No, no. Well, there'll be a story in a few minutes, we'll see, which is just as ridiculous, but which has that sentence. But yeah, basically the magistrate who delivered the sentence said that, you know, it was to be an example of for others. Otherwise, there'd be chaos.
Yeah. Well, okay. He threw a sandwich at him. I suppose that's outside the normal course of democratic debate.
It
if
is
one could
indeed
say that sort of thing, yeah, happens in Hong Kong. It hasn't had any sort of chilling effect, though, on his supporters.
No, and in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a campaign centred around sandwiches of some sort. They're quite clever, these campaigners, it has to be said. So watch this space.
Right, Honduras we're going to now. And this is a story about the death of an activist and some rather sinister people are involved in this.
Yeah, well, there's been an investigation into this. So this was Berta Caceres, who was an activist. She was working basically for an ethnic group called the Lenca, and to cut a long story short, a dam was being built on their land, which they deemed sacred. They didn't want it to happen, and it was actually being funded by quite a few people. There was money from Finland, the Netherlands, the USA, which has subsequently been withdrawn, in fact, and that's to do with the fact, mainly to do with the fact that last March she was assassinated. She was taken, murdered by four gunmen. She was living in a gated community. She was to have 24-hour protection because she had over 30 death threats against her up to that point. But these people still managed to get in and shoot her. And there's been a few investigations since. Now, the reason it's come up now again is because the group that she was working for brought in their own group of international experts, okay, to make it look as if it was independent. And they have delved quite deeply into this, and they've said that, you know, police, military and various different agents of the state were involved in this particular murder. And it goes very deep into the fabric of the political and military system of Honduras. Mm. So if you actually look at it, the company that's involved, the main company involved in the building of this dam, its president is a former military intelligence officer and the secretary is a former justice minister. Now, 8 people have been arrested, and 2 of those are ex-military men, and 1 of those was actually serving in the military at the time that this woman was murdered.
Well, this, I suppose, I mean, apart from that, it's all very sinister, all these various players, but it seems as if the findings of the report are being acted upon.
Well, they are, yeah, and in fact, before the report was even issued, they had been. There was a few arrests a couple of weeks after the murder itself. Now, at the moment, there are court proceedings, but 7 of the 8 people who have been arrested have said they're totally innocent. But the problem for them is that there's one guy who's talking, and he has admitted his involvement in this, but he says that he was operating under duress. Now, he was sent, he had gone to Mexico, and I think he was sent back from Mexico. So I think he's probably cut some sort of a deal. But, you know, I think what this report is looking into is how far into, you know, politics and the military this actually goes.
Mm, but presumably those links are still operating.
Yeah, you would imagine so. Now, the only problem for them is, and this is the reason why I mentioned the financiers earlier on, is that that money has since been withdrawn. So it looks like the actual project itself might be dead in the water, if you excuse the pun.
Yes. I do. Had she been subject to death threats before or attempts on her life before?
Yeah, she was an activist for the guts of 20 years, and she's kind of had to ramp up her activities in the last number of years, because for the last 6 or 7 years, it seems that there's more of this against ethnic groups, where big companies are trying to come in and just take their land and are sort of sweeping these groups aside.
Right, Mexico we're going to go to now, and the death of a gang leader, though the gang leader has died not in the way one might expect.
It's a most bizarre story, and this is in a city called Puebla, and it's a beautiful place. It's fairly south central of Mexico. There's about 3 million people who live there, and this guy's name was Jesus Martin, and he was known as El Kalimba, was his gangster name. But he was on an operating table when we think a gang broke in and shot him dead.
Okay.
Operation itself was for plastic surgery. We believe that he was getting his facial features changed, and maybe having some surgery to get rid or modify his fingerprints, which apparently
I didn't know you could do that.
So there you go. And he's not the first guy to do it. Apparently, El Chapo did the same. You remember this is what's his name, Joaquin Guzman, isn't it?
Mm.
Who was captured in 2014. So the plastic surgeons obviously didn't do such a great job in that case. But it just shows that the depths that these gangs are prepared to go to, that they're prepared to go in the middle of a surgery. And nothing about the report says whether any of the surgeons were killed or whether there was actually any other people killed. It just focuses on this gangster. And in the last year, the number of murders have escalated in Mexico. So they've gone up. There's over 12,000 murders in the first 6 months of this year, in comparison to 9,000 last year, which is already really, really high.
Is there any indication what the particular beef would have been between this chap's gang and the gang who killed him?
So in this case, we think that he was actually involved in the siphoning of petroleum rather than drug trafficking. So this appears to be the second biggest organised crime in Mexico. It's huge now, and it's concentrated, an awful lot of it is concentrated in this city, Puebla. So effectively, you've got the same thing. It's gangs fighting over territory, and you know who controls various neighbourhoods and who they're selling to.
Yeah. Now, and this guy Jesus Martin, his nickname was Pipe Sucker.
Yes.
Please explain indeed what that means.
Well, they tap into the big pipes that are going through the region of the oil companies, and like they do in the Niger Delta.
Yeah.
And they siphon the oil out.
Yeah.
And they'd sell it at half the price, and sometimes they'd even give it away, you know, and they've sort of created religious cults around these things and everything as well, because lots of people are benefiting from it as well.
It's kind of got to the point in parts of Mexico, at least, as if there isn't a state functioning at all.
There's two states, you know, really, and it's hard to know who people have their loyalties to. I mean, if you've got a state that aren't looking after you, and then you've got a guy selling petrol to you at half price, you'll go with him.
Right, Peru we're going to next, and this is, if you like, a protest in a beauty pageant.
Yeah, it's a great story, this one. This was at Peru's Miss Universe pageant, and generally, if you ever watch these things, which I'm sure you don't, the beauty queens at some point will step up to the mic and they'll say, my name is whatever, Maria, I'm 6 feet tall, my bust is this, my waist is this, and whatever else, and everybody applauds her for giving her dimensions.
Yeah.
Okay, it's bizarre. But in this case, what they did instead was they walked up and they said, my name is Maria and my measurements are 70% of women in the country are victims of street harassment. Next lady went up and said, my measurements are a girl dies every 10 minutes due to sexual exploitation in Peru. And it seems that the participants and the organisers got together and they said, look, instead of doing what we normally do, we're going to cause a bit of a ruckus on, you know, nighttime television when everybody's sitting around and we're going to draw attention to, you know, this sort of harassment and the problems that women have to go through in Peru.
Was it all of them? Did they all do this?
They all did it, yeah. They all did it. And nobody seemed... it was great to actually watch because nobody seemed surprised and it was really quite powerful. It was like these sort of... Oh God, I'm going to get shot for this. But it was like these mythical, you know, Amazons coming up to the mic and really strong characters, like, you know, and giving these in-your-face, very uncomfortable statistics to an audience that really wasn't ready for it at all.
Yeah.
And it's got a huge reaction.
And is it clear whether the organizers had any clue this was going to happen?
They knew that it was going. It seems that they organized it.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a very interesting take on things. Right, we're going to go to Egypt now. Again, this is on TV, but this is a TV presenter getting 3 years in prison for doing what?
Yeah, Doa Salah was her name. She was a presenter on a big TV station there. And in July, she was involved in a show in which she opened a discussion on how women could get pregnant outside of marriage, right? So she opened her show by basically saying, you know, if I get married and my husband divorced me, I become a single mother if I have a child. They can die and I'll be a single mother. So let's discuss the options of becoming a single mother on our own choice, if you know what I mean. And she was routinely criticized for it. It created outrage and there was a case brought against her by a lawyer and she's now been sentenced to 3 years in jail simply for having a discussion about this topic.
Is there a specific law she violated, though?
Yeah, it's outraging public decency, apparently. So what's happened in the last 2 years is, and what many people thought would not happen since El-Sisi has come in, is that there's actually been a more conservative push within Egypt. So there's been all sorts of different things happening. Like, there was that famous case of those 11 gay people who were sentenced to 12 years in prison.
Mm.
Not for being gay, because it's not illegal, but for debauchery. Okay, that's what they were sentenced to. That was the law they broke, inverted commas. Belly dancers have been sent to prison. So there's been all sorts of weird stuff going on there. It seems to be a conservative clampdown on society there at the minute. And this woman is the latest victim.
Okay, so there's a very conservative interpretation of the existing law.
Yeah.
Togo, we're going to next. Now, there had been a ban on weekday protests. Does that mean you could protest at the weekends?
I assume so, to be honest. It must have been. But anyway, whatever about it, it has been lifted. Foreign Nasingbe, who's been there since 2005 and his father was there before him for the guts of 30 years, has decided to give the opposition a little bit of leeway, and it looks like they're actually talking to each other now about coming to some sort of an agreement for him to step aside. Okay, so when he became president originally in 2005, he should have only been there for two terms. But of course, like all good dictators in that part of the world, he changed the constitution, and he's been there. He won another election in 2015. And he looks like he'd probably go again if he had the chance. He's a young man. But he looks like he's backing down a little bit. There's been a bit of pressure from neighbours and because of things that have happened in Gambia and in Burkina Faso and in various different countries around the area. Pressure's been brought to bear on him by the African Union and that part of the world. Is it ECOWAS? I can't remember the organisation. Mm. But there's international pressure being brought to bear on him as well. So it seems to be working.
Right. Okay. Australia, we're going to now, and this was a con of a nun and a priest.
Yes. So a 40-year-old woman by the name of Angie Emma Walsh. She had a history of deception offences, apparently in South Australia and Western Australia, but she still managed to con a nun and a priest into giving her the guts of 120,000 euros. Okay. She pretended that she had cancer. It was particularly sinister, and she enlisted the help of this nun, a woman by the name of Sister Swigs, and she had kind of befriended her for a number of years and started getting money out of her in 2012. Then Sister Swigs went to a priest by the name of Bill Brady, a lot of Irish names in here, but Bill Brady, who then also gave money, and I believe some of his family and the nun's family also took out loans and gave this woman family gave this woman money, which she used to go on holiday and for various different things. So she's been sentenced to, I think it's over 5 years, nearly 6 years in prison for what she did.
She must have been very convincing, though.
She was.
Unless that none of the priests were extraordinarily naive. Finally, Turkey we're going to now, and there's a new marriage law there.
Yeah, so as per Turkey's secular tradition of the last 100 years or so, civil weddings were all that was allowed in Turkey, but that has now changed. So President Erdogan, who you won't be surprised is behind this, has decided he's going to allow Islamic muftis to conduct marriages, which will now be recognised as legal. Okay, so before, they were ceremonial marriages, of course, but in order for them to be legally recognised,
they had to be a registrar.
Exactly,
yeah.
Okay. So now that doesn't need to be done anymore. Now, liberal parties are against this, and they say that, you know, it's just an excuse to allow for the marriages of underage girls in rural areas or in isolated communities, shall we say. But the Turks are saying, well, no, it's actually going to encourage people to sort of come out of the of hiding, if you know what I mean, and to register and get girls married properly, if you know what I mean. So I suppose, surprisingly enough, 15% of marriages in Turkey, of women who are married in Turkey, are under the age of 18, which I was quite surprised by that.
And now,
that
is that what is the legal age of consent?
It is 18.
Right. So they're not legally married anyway.
Indeed, but that doesn't necessarily matter. So what they do is, and that's actually a conservative estimate, so that, you know, within certain isolated communities, you know, people will get married anyway.
Yeah.
It just won't be recognised by the state. So I suppose from the Turkish government's point of view, they're trying to make it more transparent and trying to make it legal. But the opposition are saying, you know, well, this will just be used as...
So is their point is, you know, there are 15-year-old girls, let's say, married, and so by giving muftis the legal power to...
To do it,
15-year-old girls can get married now legally.
No, they won't be allowed to get married legally. But what they're saying is that they'll be able to... It'll be more transparent so that they'll have to... Or that's what they'll say anyway. There'll be more checks on those muftis, because they'll be brought more in line with what the legal requirements are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I doubt that's... I'm not saying that I think that's going to happen. But that's their argument.
Right. Okay. Well, what should we look out for over the coming week, Jonathan?
Okay. So there'll be elections in Somaliland, which is a sort of a region of Somalia, on the 13th of this month, and San Suu Kyi will be released. Has been released 7 years on the same day.
Is that being celebrated or
we'll see.
A new wave of protests against her, unfortunately, is what I would imagine.
Really. And a day after that, Duterte and Trump are going to meet in the Philippines on the 14th as he continues his world tour of Asia.
What a fascinating meeting of minds. That term in the loosest possible sense. Jonathan DeBerke-Butler, thank you very much coming into us. We'll take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.